Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. Now, the title of the message tonight is important for you to remember. Okay? I will repeat it at least one more, probably two more times in the course of preaching, but I start with it. The theme of the message tonight, encouragement for seekers. Those who are seeking to know Christ as Savior. This message is intended to be encouragement for seekers. Now, I want you, as we go through this message, having stated that title, you may wonder how this is that. Just wait. We're going to put all of the pieces out and wait till we get to the end. And the intention is that they'll all come together. Now, that's the intention. Not always does a preacher accomplish his intention, but I really expect you'll see the point. Father in heaven, I do pray for your leading. I pray for your grace to make clear the intended explanations on this subject. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 to 8, Pastor identified for us several weeks, if not a few months ago, that Hebrews 6, 1 to 8 are transition verses from the old to the new covenant. Okay? Transition verses from the old to the new covenant. What I hope to do is look at Hebrews chapter 6 and consider just certain aspects. I'm not intending to give the final expounded explanation of everything that's here, okay? I'm approaching it from one purpose. Whoa, how about that? Might need to turn that down just a tad. It seems to have gotten louder, actually. There are so many, many different views and explanation of these verses that your head can spin if you study and you read on them. One thing for sure regarding this passage, it is not talking about saved people who've lost their salvation.
That's right.
Okay? Whatever one may say, however one may agree or not agree on the approach to understanding the passage, we can agree on this. It's not talking about saved people who've lost their salvation. Well, how can you be so sure, Preacher Hain? There are too many scriptures that teach against being able to lose your salvation.
That's right. Yes.
There are too many scriptures that talk about the security of the believer. So that you cannot look at one passage, difficult in itself to understand, and then have that one passage offset so many other passages. Now, it is not the purpose of this message to look at all those verses that secure the believer's salvation, that would teach against losing your salvation. That's not my purpose, okay? That's a theme for another time. All right, there's actually two people or two groups, types of people that I think are in this chapter. Verse 1 to 3, and then it picks up again at verse 9, where you're talking about what I'll call new Christians, beginning Christians. Believers when they get started, okay? And then from verse 4 to 8, I believe it's talking about the second group of people. And I'll explain more about them as we get to those scriptures. You see, verse 1 says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. Now, he's not saying leave the principles of the doctrine of Christ in the sense of forget them, ignore them. But you've heard of Christ. You've heard of his salvation. Okay, you've actually even trusted him as your Savior. Now, that's a great start. You can't hang up there. So you leave them. In other words, you go on. And that's exactly what he says. Let us go on unto perfection. Now, perfection here is not sinlessness, but a completion or a maturity. And that's just what we're seeing in verse 1 to 3, that these beginner Christians are to go on and mature. And that's what he picks up in verse 9. Look at it. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you. Better than what? Better than verse 4 to 8. Okay? So you see, he says, we're persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. And if you don't distinguish that there's two groups here, two sets of people, you're going to end up really confused. And that's where many people that look at Hebrews 6 end up very confused. All right, so he says, let us go on unto perfection, maturity, completion, not laying again the foundation of repentance. Look, you repented once, that's all you got to do. You don't get saved several times. You don't repent from your sin and your lostness several times. You do it once. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. You ever talk to somebody, witness to them, and you explain how to get saved, and they say, oh yeah, I've done that many times. Well, you immediately know they don't understand what the Bible's teaching. So you don't repent again. You don't leave your dead works again. You don't have faith toward God again. You've started that. Of the doctrine of baptism, of the laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, of eternal judgment. And this will we do. Paul, as he writes, he says, this we will do. These new beginners, that's what they're going to do. Now he says, if God permit. Now there's no question there that God won't permit them to grow. Okay? For certain, he wants them to grow. Whatever it means, if God permit, it doesn't mean that he might not permit them to grow. There again, that's such an obvious thing, isn't it? That God would not be against a new Christian growing. Now, verse 9, he says, but beloved, we're persuaded better things of you. Of who? Of these people in verse 1 to 3. We are persuaded better things of you, better than what I'm going to look at here in verse 4 through 8. Verse 3, he says, this we will do. What? What will we do? Not laying again, okay? Not laying again the foundation of repentance, not laying again faith toward God, not going through the doctrine of baptism and laying on of hands and resurrection, not doing this. That's what he's talking about. This we will do. We're going to go on unto perfection. We're going to go on unto maturity. Now remember, the focus of this message is encouragement for seekers. Adrian Rogers, you've heard me refer to him before. He's obviously one of my, I don't like to use the terms favorite, that's too fleshly, but he's one that I can learn from. Everybody has people they read or you listen to online or on the radio, and you all have somebody that, just the way they present things, it clicks and connects with you. And that's the case with Adrian Rogers. He used an illustration on this passage that I found interesting. He said, there's times where you go to the supermarket and near the deli, They may have a little table set up where they give out small samples of cheese, okay? Now, I confess to being a store grazer. You know what a store grazer is? He's one of them people who on the weekends is when they have these set up. Locally, BJ's is real good for this, okay? But they'll have 3-4 tables set up, sampling maybe juice or cheese or whatever. And you can just graze from one table to the other, take a sample, wait about 15 minutes, hope they don't remember, you go back and do that. Yeah, I confess, I'm a store grazer. Well, Adrian Rogers, he's in heaven now. But he said at the supermarket near the deli, the small samples of cheese are given out. Said you take one, and it tastes very good. So good that you say, I'll take 2 pounds of that. And so you carry it along to the register with a couple other items that you've gotten. And when the clerk checks it out, you realize that your 2 pounds of delicious cheese is going to cost you $30. You realize that you don't usually pay $15 a pound for cheese. So you say, oh, wait a minute, that costs way too much. Put it back. And so the clerk walks it back to the cheese department. I know what it is and how it tastes, but I'm not going to pay that high a price. Now, these verses are not talking about saved people, verses 4-6, who've lost their salvation. This is talking about people who were, and it says it in verse 4, for it is impossible for those who were once, what's the next word? Out loud. Enlightened. Enlightened. Okay. Their eyes were open. They were enlightened. Not just their physical eyes, okay, but their eyes of comprehension or understanding. Their eyes were open. And it goes on and it tells us in verse 4 and 5, they've tasted. See, you tasted the little piece of cheese? They tasted the heavenly gift, the good word of God, and powers of the world to come. Now, it would be interesting to look at each of those and go into some degree of depth of explanation. But again, that's not my purpose. But these people who were enlightened, they had their eyes open, they comprehended what the heavenly gift is. And about the word of God, they've appreciated and they've gotten a taste of the word of God and the powers of the world to come. They saw some into future things. And then it goes on and it says in the end of verse 4, they were made partakers of the Holy Ghost. Oh, you see, right there, people who believe you can lose your salvation, that's they hang everything on that phrase, they were made partakers of the Holy Ghost. Because when you who are saved got saved, the Holy Spirit regenerated you and renewed you. You were made partakers of the Holy Ghost. But you see, the Holy Ghost does more than regenerate and renew people.
That's right.
And so to assume that they were made partakers of the Holy Ghost means that they were regenerated is an unfounded assumption.
That's right.
Okay? The Holy Ghost was part of the enlightening of them. The Holy Ghost is the one that enabled them to understand the heavenly gift, the word of God, and the powers of the world to come. And so we realize verse 6 starts if they shall fall away. Okay? Now, the if there is not conditional. I believe it is descriptive. If they shall fall away, to renew them again. Renew them again to what? To repentance. Ah, you see? Now those again who confuse this passage, they'll go back to verse 1 to 3 where it says, not laying again the foundation of repentance. And what they'll do, they, meaning the ones who confuse this passage, they'll connect this, if they shall fall away to renew them again under repentance, they'll connect that renewing to repentance in verse 6 with the not laying again the foundation of repentance, and they make them the same. But they're not. Because they're talking about two different groups of people. Two different individuals. Verse 1, 2, 3, and then picks it up at 9, is talking about beginner believers. Verse 4 to 6 is talking about people who have heard the Word of God preached. They have had the conviction of the Holy Spirit on them, which I believe is what it means by partakers of the Holy Ghost. They've had conviction of the Holy Spirit on them. But these are people who have heard, verse 4 to 6, they've heard, they've learned, if you please, with my illustration or Adrian's illustration, they nibbled at the truth. And with eyes wide open, they say, no to God, and they refuse Christ. If they shall, verse 6, if they shall fall away to renew them again under repentance, why? Seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh. He was crucified once on the cross for the sins of the world, but these people, they've heard, they've been convicted, but they're not willing pay the price. Okay? And therefore, they crucify to themselves. And they put him to an open shame. They disregard, they trample his precious blood. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh often upon it, bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessings from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. The people of verse 1 to 3 were beginner Christians. They're not described in verse 8. But what's described in verse 8 is the people of verse 4 to 6. They've crucified the Lord to themselves. And they've trampled his precious blood. And they made an open shame of it. Now remember, the title is Encouragement for Seekers. Now, if I were sitting where you are, and as a seeker, I may be thinking, okay, how's that encouragement for me? Well, I know I'm not part of 1 to 3 beginner believer. Well, let me ask you a question. You're jumping to a conclusion here. You're leaping to something you shouldn't, and you must be careful of that. In all of life and living, you must be careful to not make assumptions and to think things through. This is encouragement in that you have put yourself in verse 4 to 6. But I ask you the question, is that where you belong? You see, I think this is good news.
That is, amen.
If you want it, listen to me. If you want to be saved, that means the Holy Spirit is working in you.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Can you get saved? Are you a person of verse 4 to 6? You know you're not a person as a new beginner, but are you a person of verse 4 to 6? Not if the Spirit of God is convicting you. Not if you're wanting to get saved.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Not if you're agonizing over your lostness.
Yes, sir.
You're not a person of verse 4 to 6. And so don't assume there's only two options here. I'm either a new beginner or I'm in verse 4 to 6. No. There's more than that. That's all that this chapter has. But there's others.
That's right.
That's where you would be. You would be seeking. If you want to be saved, if you are convicted about not being saved, if you are trying to understand and come to an understanding of Christ and salvation, that is evidence that the Holy Spirit is working in you. Okay? And I'm going to conclude with Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22. And I'm looking at verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. You see it? There's your invitations over and over again. The Spirit and the bride say to you, seeker, come. And let him that heareth that say, come. And are you thirsty for Christ? Let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. There's your invitation.
Amen.
There is there your is. Encouragement as a seeker. Now, I dealt with our Hebrews chapter 6. Because whether you would do so by reading Hebrews 6 or whether you would just in confusion think of yourself as somebody because you've not yet gotten saved, you could think of yourself as somebody who apparently can't get saved. No. You see, have you trampled underfoot the blood of Jesus? Have you disregarded the work that he's done? Have you put off that which he has offered to you? Well, if you haven't done that, then you don't belong in Hebrews chapter 6. Don't let yourself. You know, who wants to put you in Hebrews 6, 4 to 6? The devil wants to put you there. Because if he gets you there, then he'll know that you'll figure there's no hope. You're lost. Now, I believe there are people that would have to be described by Hebrews 4 to 6. But then you know what? They don't care.
That's right.
They're not interested.
Doesn't bother them at all.
I remember an old fella I talked with lived in a trailer near to the parsonage. His one neighbor witnessed to him many times. He had gone to church with his wife. Oh, good night. I talked to him when he must have been 80 years old. But he was convinced he couldn't get saved. And he was convinced that this was true of him. And it indeed may have been because it didn't seem to bother him.
That's right.
It did not seem to bother him that he was lost. And he couldn't get saved. But to somebody who it bothers, it troubles, okay, you're a candidate for salvation.
That's right.
You just keep seeking the Lord.
Yes, sir.
And he will be found. You say, well, I don't know what's holding it up. I don't know either.
That's right.
If you could only hear Mrs. Hain and I pray for those of you that are seeking. And we say, God, I don't know what's wrong. What is it? But there's something that's keeping you.
That's right.
Yes. From finding Christ.
That's right.
I don't know what it is. Because him that is athirst, let him come.
Yeah.
Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, I know it's not just the verbal transaction, but it's with the heart calling. But something is keeping you. Have you asked God to show you what it is? If you ask him to show you what it is, he will. But he may not do it until he knows you're ready to hear it. You see, God knows so much more than us. You see, what I want to say to God is, Lord, look, aren't you aware you wrote the book of Romans? Aren't you aware of the Romans Road? Aren't you aware of all those verses in John? You get to the Romans Road, you've got John's trail, okay? And then there's an assortment of scriptures, and I forget what the title is put on them, okay? But it's an assortment that explains how people come to salvation. And when a person's ready to come, any one of those assortments will work.
That's right.
But until they're ready. And that's where the heartache is. Until they're ready.
That's right.
And I don't know how it is that God works. You've heard my testimony. I, 15 years old in church and in evangelistic meetings, had hardly gone to church much before, knew and understood little, but I got saved that night. There was no question about it. And all the while I was backslidden, you couldn't convince me I wasn't saved because I knew what I did. There in the pastor's office next to the platform of the church.
Amen.
I don't know. Why is it some come seemingly so easy? Or so quickly? Okay? Maybe easy isn't the term, but the time frame when some coming to know the Lord is shorter than for some others. I like so much the way Chelsea put it in sharing her testimony. She heard of others who took years and years, and she thought she had to take years and years. Don't you, if you're a seeker, don't you ever think you have to take a long time to get to Christ. But you've got to take as much time as necessary. Listen to me now. For you to allow God to show you what is between him and you. What it is in you, between him and you. Okay? And, you know, sometimes we might know too much. Okay? You can have big head knowledge about Jesus Christ and God and Christian life and Christian living. And now you've got some expectations.
That's right.
That you don't need to have.
That's right.
And those expectations are going to hinder you because you're expecting something that God may not be expecting.
Good.
Now, once you get saved, all of that knowledge is going to put you a couple steps ahead of somebody like me that got saved and didn't know boo. Okay? I didn't know a thing. But I didn't have anything to unlearn either.
Amen.
And I when I learned something, I learned it. It wasn't what I saw in other people.
Amen.
And now I got to somehow match up to what I saw in other people. No, it was just God and me.
Amen. Well put.
There's just so much.
Well put.
So much.
Well put.
All right. That takes care of that. Thank you for watching us.